Hello, friends of the internet. It's the Alternative F1 podcast. We're back up in this again. We have Andre Dixon back, as always, but we also are joined again by the Driven by Diversity squad, Ariana Bravo and Steph Turner.
Hello.
There they are in their respective squares, resuming this up, as always. The Formula One world rolls on. We've had the Russian Grand Prix, the Bottas win, which I absolutely love. There's certain Bottas haters up in this group, that's for sure. Before we get started and we figure out who they are, squad, how are you all doing?
Not too bad, thank you.
Good, thank you.
We're going to be very honest that we all kind of rushed into the preparations for this one. It's a manic Thursday.
Spilling the secrets. No one will know if you don't tell them.
We want to be honest with you guys as we are with each other. But we're here. And again, we've made it. We have a similar format to last week. We have Dre, Steph and Ariana will have burning topics to bring to the table. I will try and spin it like a bad man that I am and see if we can resolve some good out of this. Some interesting topics, some very relevant topics for the world of F1. But gang, did you all tune in for the Russian Grand Prix? Did we watch it? Where did we watch it? And what did we think?
Watched it at home. Thought it was okay. Not spectacular, but we had a different winner. Still Mercedes, but not Hamilton. But obviously the circumstances around that were a little bit,
of course,
controversial. But yeah, it was okay. We've had better. Yeah.
Look, we've had at least a slightly different variation to the Lewis, Verstappen, Bottas mixture, which is good. Steph, what did you think of it, buddy?
So it started off very good with qualifying, going back to that, and I was getting very excited because my premonitions were kind of coming true. And I was thinking, what the hell is going on?
Danny Rick, I felt, almost had like a second chance, maybe getting close to that Cyril tattoo.
Yeah.
But not quite.
It wasn't to be. And then I just made myself look stupid in the race, really. But I mean, it started off quite exciting, especially with all the penalties and you know, you never know what's going to go on into turn two, especially at that track. And we saw it happen. But yeah, then it just turned into a bit of a snooze fest and wake me up at lap 50. But that's just the Russian Grand Prix.
Certainly did. And I think we've been spoilt as F1 fans. We've had some interesting races, of course. We had red flags galore, but at least, you know, this time, minus and obviously Pierre recently winning at Monza, we had a different winner. You must be over the moon, Dre, that we had Bottas as a winner.
I knew you'd shout me out. He is not the most interesting person. Lovely guy, you know, really nice, humble guy. You could not probably meet a nicer guy. I haven't met him yet. One day I will, and I'll give him a nice, you know, distanced hug.
Yeah, COVID friendly. Don't touch him.
Exactly. Well, I'll do it from here. But it is boring, and then he does only win by default. So yeah, unfortunately, Lewis, you know, lost because of you know, silly decisions by the team to let him do you know, that practice start. But you know, it's nice for the Mercedes team to be able to keep on winning, and it's good for I suppose Bottas's morale. But all that stuff at the end, that big talk, you know, you only won by default. So,
I very much enjoyed the throwback to the Bottas 2.0, to whom it may concern. The rest, you know.
I feel like, you know, it was like me.
Yeah, he's laughing. He's laughing at Dre. Yeah, but look, was it for you guys? Do you feel like there was any kind of star performers in that race? Anyone that stood out for us outside of the usual top three?
Perez did good, and obviously he has a point to prove now. He's trying to get himself a seat, and I think he put in a strong performance, so we'll see what happens. He said that there are talks going on about his future, so maybe if he continues with performances like that, we'll see him on the grid next year as well.
Absolutely. And there's some exciting news. I think that one key bit of exciting news that I kind of skimmed over is that we touched upon F2 racers last week, but we've actually got a couple of guys coming up in the next few sessions. Callum Ilott's coming up, Mick Schumacher in Alpha. Am I missing anyone else? Is it just those? And Schwartzman as well, of course. So we happy with this, gang? Are we excited and fused that we are getting some more young talent? Or is it good races being put into some dud cars?
Yeah, it shows that... No, go for it.
That's okay. We discussed it very briefly in the last podcast, didn't we? Where we were talking about the Haas seats and the mm-hmm. Alpha seats. And I brought up those three drivers because they're the ones that have a bit of a chance being connected to Ferrari. So it is good to see that. Obviously, that's not saying that they have got a seat or, you know, they're in talks for a seat. But at least it's that first stepping stone and they can prove what they've got to offer and hopefully get the wheels in motion. But who knows where that will lead.
Who knows? And I certainly feel like maybe if there was an obvious one, or one that interests me at least, of course, we're all, you know, as we build up to in over a week's time, the German Grand Prix, of course, having Mick Schumacher, having a Schumacher name in F1 is always a very comforting thing. It would be nice, and I think it might be fitting that Alpha need a bit of star power, a bit of something interesting, something for Ferrari that they can keep an eye on and develop, but we shall see. But before we rattle on, ladies, also in a driven by diversity world, what's been going on? We saw that recently you had been chatting to Greg Hatton. How was that? How was all in the camp?
All is good. Our chat with Greg was a really, really good one. Definitely recommend everyone listens if you haven't already.
Get on it.
Shameless plug. And we've got some more exciting guests coming up. Lots of recordings scheduled in. So Steph and I are pretty jam-packed for the next month or so. But indeed, it's worth it.
It is worth it. I mean, this is the thing, like, for you viewers that are tuning in, as often and as much as we can get Steph and Ariana involved, we will hope to see them a lot. Of course, everyone on top of their regular lives, everyone running on their own podcasts as a labor of love. It's awesome that we can get these moments that everyone's crammed together in their lunch breaks doing this. So, of course, and you know, Dre, as a parent, holy moly, mate, you're a busy man. He does the night shifts for the American sports. So
we are running at full throttle in this house. Is the You know, we've got a lot of products, obviously, from Autosport Verge that we're putting out. Obviously, we've got the sports heads that are always going out. You know, me and this knucklehead here always back-to-back shows coming up. We've got a lot of content coming up. And it means that I have to spend more time in my wardrobe, which is always good.
Not a problem. repping the Lakers. Well, you got Lakers in there in the back as well. Of course, we just recently had game one of the playoffs. Yeah. So for your NBA fans, don't worry, F1 fans, we're not going to talk about NBA here, but just make sure.
You're going to get people saying, what the hell are you not talking about?
Get out the sports heads for that good stuff. You know, it's been amazing to have everyone here. Crazy wild times, doing it as a labor of love. But before we get started, talking about love, something that I definitely use a lot of and love using, big up Natural Barber, who make this podcast possible. So make sure that you get hold of this at naturalbarber.co. It's free of synthetics, petrochemicals, other harmful ingredients. Get on that website. See that lovely little photo of Gareth Bale? I took that lovely little photo of Gareth Bale, who calls it his go-to hair products. We will remind you every time. If you've seen him and the images of him recently this week on the training ground at Tottenham, but luscious hair, hell yeah. Gareth Bale, the guy's back. Back in London. Hopefully we can see him soon. COVID life, not so fun, making it harder to be around the real superstars, not us. So make sure, shop now to get 25% off, free next day delivery in the UK when you use the code AltSport25. So get on that, naturalbarber.co. That is the business bit. Now let's get into the hot topic. So it's a drum roll thing. So as you guys saw last week, we each had burning topics in the F1 world. We digest them. Everyone has to go one each at saying their piece. This week, I kind of changed it up a bit where I said to them, all right, let's not put it out in a WhatsApp group. Send it to me because I want to see these natural reactions. We want to be surprised by each other. And with the element of surprise, we are going to, I'm just going to pick some at random to go first. So Ariana, boom, you're first up. What is the
knew
story
you were
going to
pick me? I could see in your eyes. So topic I have brought to the table is reverse grids. Of course, it's something that has been discussed before. It's something that sort of died down when Mercedes vetoed it. But then after the Italian Grand Prix, when Pierre Gasly won, came back around and people again started thinking, oh, this is quite exciting. Maybe we should bring this back in. For those that aren't familiar with it, the reverse grids would be set up in a way that qualifying on Saturday will be replaced by sprint races, and they will be in reverse championship standing order. And the outcome of those sprint races, they'll be short races, will determine the starting grid for Sunday. So hoping that that will mean more exciting racing, the top teams having to actually get stuck into the battles with those further down the field, and just more entertainment for the fans. The fans are always screaming that they're bored. For example, after the Russian Grand Prix, a lot of people said that, like Steph said, a bit of a snooze fest. So they're trying to cheer up fans like Steph here. but I don't know. I don't know what you guys think. I'm not sure about it personally. I know that a lot of the drivers have come out themselves and said, no, like it's you're doing too much. It's not necessary. But something has to change in Formula One, right? Like we can't just become used to boring races and just settle for it. The sport needs to keep bringing in new people. I don't know where you guys stand on this. Personally, I think that the outcome that we had at the Italian Grand Prix is what made it was special, because it never happens. It was organic. It was unexpected. It threw us all off. If you start manufacturing that into each race weekend, does that take away an element of it? Or do you think, yeah, screw it, chuck it in there and let's jazz things up a little bit?
I agree with you there. Yeah. I think it's probably, at first I was very much for reverse grids, but then when you think mm-hmm. about it, when you are doing it every single race, it becomes very gimmicky and it actually very much takes away from what F1 has traditionally been. Scrapping the qualifying format completely. Having said that, I think it might be nice as like a one-off, maybe four times a year or something like that, just for something to look forward to. And you know that it's going to shake up the race a bit. But if we do that, then does that mean that they're non-championship races or you can get points? Because if you then make it a non-championship race, then the teams aren't going to bother because they don't want to break their cars and spend money if they're not going to get any financial gain from it, from getting a point. So it swings and roundabouts, but yeah, something definitely needs to come in to sort of shake it up a bit, just to add a bit more excitement. But I agree in that if it did happen every race, it then wouldn't be special anymore and it would just be the norm.
Well, I think what's interesting here is, like, you know, for me and Dre, as football fans in this world, of course, you do have alternative tournaments within our sport. You know, if you're a Premier League fan, you have the FA Cup, the League Cup, Champions League, or some of the lower teams, Europa League, which seems as a burden, and some of none at all. So I think it's something that maybe if there's a way to incentivize that, this kind of method, this format, I think, of course, like, I'd like to see it. It's nice to see something different. I think as a consequence of the 2021 rules, of course, with that being delayed and all that, thanks COVID, big up. So we're missing out on seeing that level playing field. But I think that's an interesting point. Dre, what do you reckon, buddy?
Yeah, I definitely am all for it because, you know, again, it's about actually keeping the sport alive, attracting new people, you know, making it, you know, exciting. There's no point in everyone every year moaning about, you know, some tracks being completely dull and then not doing anything about it. So let's actually have some things that actually you can look forward to. You know, more, you know, as long as obviously everyone's okay, but you want more collisions, you want more delay, you know, you want more flags,
I mean,
all these types of things you need.
Wipe the cars out,
bumper cars everywhere. But what you do need, you know, things that make the sport exciting. And also, it's, you know, some of these drivers that are so-called the best drivers, it's not just about getting your the fastest lap time and you just having this procession at the front. We want to see Lewis, Max, people like that, actually, you know, taking, going past people, you know, showing their skill. I love to see Hamilton, you know, especially when he's pissed and angry, you know, going past like seven cars to be able to, you know, that was more interesting than you know, just watching someone just win. You know, him just going from where he was with the penalties, going all the way up to third. Like, that is exciting to me. So yeah, I'm definitely all for it. You know, all change, all new stuff, all good.
Well, that was the exciting thing, wasn't it? When you do see Lewis rampaging from the back, and you know the Max Verstappens and whatnot that have had these moments within the F1 calendar, it's quite exciting to see. But it's also you look at it and go, oh wow, these cars are in a league beyond the rest of the grid, which is, I think, makes the next, you know, 2 year period fascinating. Now, I think, look, we just want to see fun race. I think that as much as it is a sport, there's a whole deal of entertainment that comes with this kind of world. So, you know, I'm all for it. Where do we start, though? If we were to pick a circuit to do, which would be great for reverse, where do we even start? What would... I don't even know what would be fitting. It's a tricky one.
That's a tricky one. And I think that it would take a lot of conversation to get the teams to all agree at what track that would be. I don't know how you would determine that, because every team would have a different view. And as we know, Mercedes aren't keen on it anyway. So I don't know whether we'll even see the idea happen.
Well, if they're not keen on it, Ferrari will be.
Exactly.
This is the type of thing I think that, you know, it's also about actually giving the smaller teams a chance to be able to actually win points. You know, you need that. Like, you can't have, you know, people like Alfa Romeo just there just for the numbers. Like, they've got to have a chance with some of the, especially when they get new drivers in, to be able to, like, you know, have their drivers introduce themselves through different, you know, situations happening through the race, you know, up further up the grid, because then we get to know more drivers.
I mean, it's a valid point. I think with what we kind of touched upon last week, Christian Horner is a bit more open-minded with these kind of experiments. I think if we were at least to do something, let's try at least one. You know, let's find the spectacles. Pick a city where there's going to be a lot of... it's hard. Do you pick a city with a lot of bars and then you feel like you're wasting a race? Is there something that you could put into do a double header some way, somehow? Good thing that all we have to do is talk about it and not have to figure this out, because I don't think we'd get very far.
It would be useless.
It would be interesting to see. I think a sport has to take all kinds of unusual risks to evolve. What could happen? Who knows? But look, we'll wait and see. I think it'd be nice to see at least one race experimented on. Mm-hmm. And then at least they can turn around and say,
yeah, I'd like to see that.
I think that's the only logical thing, right? There's no harm in trying. Look, is it worse than running a car, getting some really useful data, than having a really average race and crashing off? You know, I would like to think, as if I was a team leader and I had a team, that would be the way to go. But
I don't think it's going to happen.
We just talked ourselves out of it. I was about to say round table.
You guys were talking yourselves into it, but I don't think it's going to happen, because Mercedes will veto it. Yeah. And I also think that we have the 2022 regs coming in, and that will hopefully level the playing field a bit more. I feel like, as disappointing it is, we might have to just hold out for that until we actually see some changes. I can't see Mercedes risking chucking in an experimental race when Hamilton is on the brink of his seventh championship title.
Yeah, that brings up a few more points, though, like in terms of the vetoing. Are they getting rid of the veto, or did I just make that up?
Yeah, it's going to be majority.
Yeah, I was going to say, because that definitely needs to happen, because veto's just silly, because obviously if it's not going to benefit a team, they're going to veto it. So what's the point of even voting in the first place? And then the other thing I was going to mention is potentially cutting down on the Friday practices, because that will shake things up a bit. We're going to see it in Imola, which will be interesting. Yeah, of
course. Yes, that's a good point, actually. That will be interesting.
Yeah. So looking forward to seeing how that pans out, and if that does shake up things, who knows?
Who knows? Well, it's certainly something we need to obviously stay tuned for. I'd be all for it, of course. Let's see. There's bigger fish to fry, of course, with these new rule changes. And, you know, I guess spoiler alert for the next few races, it's probably going to be Hamilton, Verstappen, Bottas. You can mix two and three up however you like, but that's most likely how it's going to be. So we get reverse grids, all these rule changes, or something very dramatic happen. Lewis to Haas, I don't know. We can mix it up. Imagine that. It would be a madness. It'd be like charity. So moving on, Steph, what has been troubling you this week?
I mean, it's not been troubling me as such, but I mean, it may be a bit of a controversial one. So obviously this year is the 70th anniversary of Formula One as a sport. And a couple of months or so ago, they did a vote who's the most influential character in F1 history. And the final came down to two people, Michael Schumacher and Bernie Eccleston. So Schumacher won, I think he had 61% of the vote, to Eccleston's 39. I mean, I'm not too strong on this one, but I do kind of feel if I had to pick, I would choose Bernie. Controversial character, but 5'3" in stature, gigantic influence, I say.
But here's the definition of good things, great things come in the small packages category. Exactly. That is for sure.
Yeah.
That little bundle of fun has created some very good stuff. But what would define, if you were to tally up of all the great things that both have done, where did it tip the balance for you?
It tips the balance for me in that without Bernie, there would be no F1 as we know it. So therefore, there would be no Michael Schumacher as we know him. So not only, obviously, Bernie bringing and transforming F1 from this minority racing series into, you know, this massive international global sport, multi-million dollar sport. I think it's only outstripped by the Olympics and the World Cup. He's brought the sport onto the global commercial stage and made it what it is today. And not only that, let's not forget, he also bought Brabham and won two world championships with that team. So he's done a lot with Brabham as well. He bought in turbo engines, and that was a bit of a historic first as well. And he also gave the first black driver not a seat, but a test in Willie T Ribbs. So he's done a few things, but the main thing for me, obviously, is bringing F1 to the global stage.
And I like that. And I think this is an easy thing. I think of any sport in general, it's very easy to forget about history. And I always get quite worried about polls where you give the public the complete freedom to be like, okay, say, like, who's your driver of the day? And sometimes it's just pretty much who you like. You can almost say, almost something too soon. And I think that's the truth. It's a true thing. It's like, look, without Bernie's had a very, very, very significant impact on the sport.
Yeah.
Michael Schumacher probably is one of the bigger, brighter, glowing stars amongst many others that have made it watchable. And I think, of course, that maybe is where you could look at an audience thing and say, like, who are the people that have been watching F1 recently, have seen the transition of Bernie, like, on his way out? Like, for myself, of course, like, it'd be very easy for me to say, yeah, Michael Schumacher, I would probably go Michael Schumacher. But that's because I grew up watching him, and it was driving me nuts. That mofo was winning every bloody race. So that was enough for me to go, like, yeah, he must be good, because I have a certain dislike about seeing him win, which is great. It's a bit like a Lewis thing. But it makes sense. But without Bernie, and without Bernie disappearing, we all probably wouldn't be here making digital content around F1. Yeah. So it's very interesting. It's a... There's been benefits off the end of it, but Dre, being a man that you know, is very immersed within the digital world. Wow, that's very hard to say.
completely
glitched out. But in a digital world, of course, we benefit from that. So are we pro Bernie, pro Shuey?
I mean, I think when we talk about Bernie Eccleston, it's I think when people are voting recently, obviously they think about there's recency bias. So what you do is you think about him just coming out of these nonsensical statements, and then obviously the racial statement that he made as well, which was completely ignorant. So I think that sometimes people don't remember all the stuff that the person done way before that built up the actual sport. He pretty much made the sport, got the sport to where it is now. Obviously, Liberty Media have taken it to a different level, but obviously you've got to look at the foundations, the person that actually sorted out the contracts and getting the races in, getting a lot of this sponsorship in, all these different things that actually kept the sport going for a long, long period of time. Is far, far more difficult than as difficult as it is to be able to be an F1 driver. you know, you setting up the whole thing, making, being a one-man band and sorting out all these things is far more difficult than Schumacher's job. So I would say, take away his nonsensical stuff that he's done recently, it's definitely Bernie Eccleston who should be held up in a higher esteem.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes, you know, I think like the old heads of any sport start, you know, spiraling out of control, saying some crazy things. But I think there's some interesting points there. Every week, well, I say every week, last time I tried to put Ariana and Steph against each other. I want to make Drew and Biodiversity divided by Matt. Ariana, do you feel that Steph is right, or do you feel like actually it's Schumacher, he's the one?
Sorry, you're gonna have to try another week. I'm with Steph again.
The loyalty is strong.
Just bring the stairs.
Yeah, I think I agree with both Steph and Dre. Putting aside all of Bernie's controversies and ridiculous statements and whatever else, what he's done for the sport is undeniable. Schumacher is a legend of the sport. He's incredibly inspirational within the sport as well. And we're not at all taking away from everything he's achieved. Yeah, but in terms of for Formula One and to get it to where it is now, I think we've got to give props to Bernie. So I'm with Steph.
Thanks, guys. It's a tough one because, as you said, Ariana, like, you can't take it away from Schumacher, what he did for the sport, mm-hmm. like on his own. And, you know, he was the architect of his own success. Yeah. Coming into Ferrari, bringing the guys with him that made Ferrari sort of transform mm-hmm. from, I guess, this glamorous, underachieving team to what it is known. Well, I mean, not this year, but what it got.
It's traditionally known as,
But having said all of that, I think Eccleston just pips him, taking away obviously the controversies, as you said. We have to think about what he did, not, you know, the silly things he does as a person that might.
And as well, like if you think about it, like the golden years that everyone, you know, all the hardcore fans talk about are under Bernie Eccleston, really. You know, the champagne years, the best drivers, the best moments, all of those stuff. Obviously, you know, Liberty has only just recently taken over, but it's going to take them a long time to be able to, and that's why they have to make changes and do different things to be able to create their own identity. You know, but like, I think what we have nowadays is a throwaway type of attitude to people's, you know, achievements and the longevity of what people have actually, you know, put into the sport. And we, you know, to be honest with you, even I'm a recent fan, wouldn't be watching it if it wasn't for Bernie, you know, to be honest with you.
See, Bernie.
And how much money does that guy make? Jesus.
I want to be.
Like, come on like, now.
I would like to be his friend for like 1 hour and just be like, look. Try everything. Shoot your shot. You got a bit of money, player. What do you need? What do you need from us? We'll make it happen. Anything. Just give us money. Make us rich. I'll clean your boat. Anything. But I mean, this is the interesting thing I want to throw out there is, of course, just recently Lewis Hamilton was included in the Time 100 list for most influential people of 2020, and rightly so. I think, you know, as much as everyone likes to discuss as him as a polarizing character, at least he is one of very few that actually speak for change and has at least consistency in character, regardless of what people may think, the hypocrisy and whatnot. So what I would say is, if there was a revote and you were to put it to a Lewis and a Schumacher, do you think it's a clear win for Lewis in that case?
It's difficult.
I think that's a difficult one.
Yeah.
I think that Hamilton has really transcended the sport. And what he's doing in terms of the wider story, in terms of diversity and the environmental concerns and everything that he's pushing for, is really not something we've seen before. I don't think we can. I think he clearly is the winner in that sense. He's going to go down in history for that aspect as well, and that will be part of his legacy. But I don't know,
not
man.
Quite, not quite.
I feel like his story's not done yet.
Yeah, I feel like we need to let him run his course fully and then look back and compare. We're still on the brink at the moment, you know. We don't know where he's going to end up, how many titles.
And I'm gonna say recency bias that you've said, Dre, like, do you think where would you see the Lewis Schumacher in the F1 influence at this stage?
Well, I think if you're looking at it, you know, I think we automatically think about the hardcore fans and what they would think. Hardcore fans are always going to go with Schumacher no matter what. But I think that if you're looking at the wider scope of the person who's actually since 2008 really kept that actual sport in the main, you know, in the limelight, I think it would be nearly dead without Lewis.
Yeah.
You know, we all wouldn't be watching it, that's for sure. You know, and I think that, you know, to be able to, you know, cross cultures where let's say, mm-hmm. if you're speaking about Ronaldo, Messi, everyone from any sport know that, even if you don't watch football, you know, but if you're asking a person who doesn't watch F1, who if they can name one driver, it will be Lewis Hamilton.
Absolutely.
You know, so that's why I think that he should get his dues. You know, obviously when you're successful at that time, I'm very sure it was the same when Schumacher was in his heyday, winning every race. I think he probably was getting like the eye rolls and hate and all those things. You know, you never celebrate people until they finish, until they've gone from the actual sport. So therefore, I think, you know, in a few years' time, then I think that's a different conversation you're going to be having, because people will be able to have a more of a balanced view rather than, he's only winning because he's in the Mercedes in the fastest car. Say the same thing for Schumacher then, you know, same type of thing. I'm going to get all the hate now from the...
No, that's it.
Fine. Fans. Embrace it.
All the WTF one is, they're going to come at me now.
They're going to come at you. They're going to be all over you with their stats and their information and all the knowledge that they harvest. But I think, yeah, I mean, compelling. I think it's nice. We've kind of almost made it like a triple threat of a Burnley, Schumacher, Lewis pit fight. Be interesting to see who wins that one. Definitely not Burnley. He wouldn't survive that. But anyways, moving on, Dre. Your topic, good sir.
Well, actually, you know, it's a good segue for what I was going to be speaking about myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously Lewis Hamilton has been the you know, trailblazer, most important person over the last few years to be able to get new people in the sport. But, you know, I would argue now that that torch has been passed over to Lando Norris, because he, to me now, is the most important person for the future of F1.
Now, if you look at
very spicy.
If you look at everything that he's done during the pandemic, you know, he single-handedly, you know, kept the sport alive through his, you know, obviously in gaming. You know, he's got a new crowd involved, because there's a lot of people that, you know, will play the games on EA Sports or PlayStation, Xbox, but won't actually watch the races. I think what he's done is he's brought a new fandom to the actual sport. He's one of the most interesting people you can actually have a conversation with. You know, he's one of, if not the funniest person in the sport. If you look at social media, who's better than him on there? You know, I know Lewis tries, but, you know, he's not in his league. And I just think that for people that are, you know, just, you know, getting into the sport again, you're not going to be looking at Lewis like, Lewis is an amazing guy. You know, definitely, you know, salute everything he's doing for all types of movements and for minorities and getting into the sport. Oh, sound very political, that statement there, minority. But I think that if you're looking at Lando's a person who brings the fun, energy, excitement into the sport. And you know, and also, not that he's just like some joke. Look at his defensive driving over the last weekend.
Yeah.
Like, who's better than him at defending his position? You know, when his wheels are literally almost, his tyres are almost going to fall off. So, like, I would say that moving forward, definitely for me, Lando is the most important person for the future of F1.
I think while the results haven't been as kind of tantalising at this stage of the season rather than when it was at the start, mm-hmm. Lando did himself a favour in getting that early podium because of all the noise that would have been made around him from social. Yeah. And it was this kind of, now the rookie season's out of the way, we can hype about Lando Norris. And of course, big McLaren fans, of course, I want Lando to be as big as he can be. And of course, which has been talked about recently, is to come in the gaming quartet of the Landos, George Russells, Charles Leclerc, Albon involved in that as well. And of course, a wider team. But of course, those key four are very involved in gaming, Max Verstappen as well. But I feel like Lando does spearhead that. And I think this is what's really important before I throw it out to Steph and Ariana, is we've had this wave now where it's like Lewis momentum's there. You know, he's got all his kind of cool friends that come. You see the Rihannas and whatnot that come down to the paddocks and all that good stuff. Now, what I think which dominates now is it's not really about like the older heads or like the petrol heads just being into F1, because now we've got the gaming crew and the gaming industry has really taken over. You've seen how important it was during the pandemic. Twitch is booming more than ever. Of all these guys that have their own accounts are doing their thing and being able to watch people play games is an awesome thing. So that generation of the gamer kind of crew are going to be like, oh, I kind of like this, dude. This is really interesting. And will hopefully fall into the sport. Likewise, F1 fans that might go into following gaming. So, Steph Arianna, are we buying Lando, the big future star, the new cool of F1?
Yeah, I think he has had a lot of pressure on his shoulders for quite some time now. Back in 2018, I was at the Bahrain Grand Prix and he won his first F2 race. Mm-hmm. And I remember then, so I was with the McLaren guys and they were saying, wow, Stoffel's got to watch out. Like, because obviously Lando was connected to McLaren at that point when Stoffel was driving, and lo and behold, Lando then gets signed. But yeah, he had sort of big things sort of signed up for him, and he still sort of does. I remember when, I think it was his first season, and you look on like the betting, your betting app or whatever, and it was like Lando Norris to be world champion in 2022 or whatever the year was. And so even then, like, he's always had it. So yeah, definitely will be interesting to follow his career, and especially now he's in that McLaren where they are making strides and getting back. And as we've seen this season, they are able to get podiums. So yeah, definitely looking forward to that one. But also I would like to say that we should probably keep our eyes on George Russell as well, because I feel big things will be coming for him as well.
On the George Russell thing, we were talking about Cole before we jumped to Arianna, is I don't like his Instagram game. It feels George Russell on Instagram feels kind of someone's. I feel like someone's like got like a sharp object behind his camera phone saying, "Take this selfie and smile." It's like when I saw bare nipple George Russell, I was like, "Oh man, I ain't down for this." There's certain people that wear cooler. I feel bless George. Like I really hope he can get a really solid car sooner than later.
Yeah.
I think if anyone that is a sleeping giant, it's absolutely George. But the Instagram game has to step up. Arianna, it's very candid. It's like, oh, hey there, like I'm George Russell. I'm just chilling outdoors. It's one of those. I love the racer, but some people have got it locked down better than anyone else. So Arianna, please distract me.
Lando's super cool, and I think that he is exactly what the sport needed in terms of that new, fresh, engaging person on the track, and I think he is super, super important to the future of F1. I don't know whether he is more important than Lewis at this point. I think he's definitely getting there, and we're not going to have Lewis forever. He's going to retire eventually, and we are going to need someone else that can bring in that new fan base. Obviously Lewis has done a really good job of tapping into like American culture and the celebrity side, but Lando's doing a really good job of tapping into the gaming side, and he's fun. And aside from that, he is an amazing driver as well. He's doing really good driving on track. So keep an eye on him both on and off the track. I think he's definitely one to watch, and other drivers should also take note a little bit in terms of how to bring in the fan base, because that's what F1 needs. We need all the people we can get.
But this is a lockdown crew. People that like to stay inside will love this moment because they get to play all their games. I loved it because I was on the PS4 just living my wildest dreams. So I think big up Lando in that case. One thing that always interests me with what could be next of Lando, because of course I love seeing a Brit in a British based team, but where's the natural fit for Lando Norris in the future if he was to move on from McLaren?
Mercedes.
Get who rid are you of, kicking out, Dre?
You know who I'm kicking out.
Yeah. Sounded like a bit of a vendetta here.
George Russell's at the front of that queue. I feel like if there's anyone in the lower grade, of course George is at the front of that queue. But I mean, could we do a George George Lando McLaren?
If we're looking like in the future, then definitely I would be pushing for that, because if you just look at it, if you're a team boss, like, you know, your team owner, you're going to want someone who's actually going to attract, you know, fandom to your team, you know, people buying your gear, supporting your team, like all of these types of things. So I think if you're looking at, you know, maybe not at, right at this moment, I think definitely during the pandemic, he was the only savior, you know, of F1, him and probably a bit of Charles Leclerc with his girlfriend being knocked out of the apartment. That was quite entertaining. But like, you know, you've got to look, we've got to definitely start looking into the future. You know, all people who run any businesses and things like that, you always have to, you know, be looking way a little bit ahead down the line. And I think that with Lando, what he does with his personality, take away the game inside, he's the most interesting person. He's, you know, I think they use his clips on F1 when there's practices, like when you're singing this Friday, you know, all of those things that he does. It's the most entertaining person. So, and he's a really, really good driver. So I definitely, if I was Mercedes, I'll be looking at him for the future.
Thanks, Drake.
Sorry, McLaren, I'm not saying it now.
That song is now going to get stuck in my head since you've brought that back up. So thank you very much. but actually, having had a thought to think about it, what if he just stays at McLaren? Because McLaren, if they're continuing on the trajectory that they're on now and they become one of the, you know, the top three, the top two teams that they want to be back where they were when Lewis first joined them, then he doesn't need to move.
Agreed. And I think I was listening to the F1 Beyond the Grid podcast with Zach Brown, and I really like the guy. And I feel like if you want a good leader to work with, then I think Zach is a great person to be under and enjoy that relationship. UK based, why the hell not? And of course, you know, all to be seen with Lando. It's exciting times. God knows what's going to happen, but he is, for me, of course, well, if he wasn't for me last year, he is undoubtedly the breakout star this year. And of course, now looking forward next week, well, week after this, we've got German Grand Prix. Lewis Hamilton didn't quite get his 91st victory to equal Schumacher's record, which is very relevant because we've been talking about all these people. To how fitting it might happen at the German Grand Prix. But guys, as we draw to a close, anything we're looking forward to? Any other bonus burning topics? Any thoughts going into this German Grand Prix weekend?
Ooh. I'm kind of looking forward to it because...
kind of.
Because I feel like the weather might play a part, hopefully. Well, that's what I'm looking for. Hopefully a bit of rain, but it's definitely going to be colder temperatures anyway to what we have been seeing so far. So that will shake things up a bit. And also if Lewis does get his 91st victory, it will be perfect because it's Mercedes' home race. So
absolutely.
Yeah,
I agree. I think it will actually be really, really fitting if he does get it there. I think it'll be quite a special moment for the team and just the sport. So let's see. But I feel like whenever we talk it up like this, it never happens. So
yeah, true. Also we've got Schumacher as well.
We all know it will happen. Yeah, definitely.
All right, there you go, jinxing things.
You see, I believe in you, Lewis.
You believe in it?
If anyone else doesn't, I believe in you.
Just
something also to look out for as well is the new F1 tracks that's on vergemagazine.co.uk.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting music choices, as we interviewed Pierre Gasly before. So he lets you know all of his, you know, tips, tricks, and all the pre-race music that he listens to as well. But yeah, definitely a good read.
Absolutely, yeah. Shout out to F1 because, of course, they, you know, with Verge, they give all the good goss when it comes to those F1 tracks. Some interesting choices. And so when I'm trying to, you know, do the old Instagram stories and pick a track, I'm thinking, whoa, this is a wavy selection. So, you know, look, F1 drivers, not all F1 drivers can be cool. But that's it. That's our roundup. That's the selection of our burning topics. So yeah, we ride off into the sunset. We've got some exciting things coming up, something a bit different coming up in the next podcast and in general with Alt Sport. So stay tuned. Me and Dre are up to something very unusual, of course.
Very exciting.
The podcast will be coming as normal. We're going to have a few friends and guests appearing in it as well. Driven by Diversity Squad, any, I don't know, town hall notices before we get out of here?
Not from me.
No, no big. just uninterested.
Just stay. Apart from listen to our podcast, please.
That's it, exactly. Listen to that. That's kind of all I'm just.
Just listen out for nothing's
happening in my life.
Oh God! Just listen out for the podcast.
I'm trying to save it, guys.
That's a layup.
Tuesday is our next release, guys. Make sure you subscribe,
there you go.
Review it, and despite Steph's lack of enthusiasm, it's well worth a listen.
Exactly. We are Driven by Diversity on Instagram. You got to get on that and give them a follow. They're a professional bunch, I promise. We try to give you the unexpected. And of course, Andre, big man, Virgin. That's it. I don't know who carries who in this situation. But Dre, big man, give us the goods. Where can we find the things that are dear to your heart? I'll start off with at Liverpool or at LFC. Go follow them because Dre loves him. Big up.
Don't get me started. You know, lots of stuff that we're actually doing. Obviously, you know, as Matt was alluding before, that we've got some huge things we're going to be doing over the next few weeks. Lots of different places we're going to be doing. Yeah, don't give it away.
Yeah. I was just giving a wave.
Subtle. You won't see me looking so cool with what we're going to be doing next. But like, we've got a few things coming up. But yeah, obviously, you know, check out for all of our new, obviously written content as well on Formula One. Check out vergemagazine.co.uk, and then obviously all of our video content and all these other lovely things that we do. I'm not going to mess it up this time. That you could check out on Altsport, our Instagram. Please, like our and join and follow our page, and then obviously, our YouTube channel as well, growing as normal.
Hells yeah. And of course, this weekend there isn't a race. And if hopefully if you've made it to the end of this podcast, go watch a Twitch stream, go watch someone race online, support that.
Watch our old videos. You're more than welcome to.
Watch our old videos. You've got some absolute legends up in there. So take a little look. And of course, we will be back with build up to the German Grand Prix. So thank you all so much. Dre, Ariana, Steph, awesome. We are all F1. Definitely check out Driven by Diversity. Despise what they think of it. I like it. I like them. It's a good place to be. Some awesome content, some great interviews. Some stuff I've loved, of course, is some fascinating stuff with Nick Hamilton. And if you want to throw back and you've got nothing to look at this weekend, this is all F1. Check out Verge. Check out Driven by Diversity. And we shall see you race lovers soon.